The South Dakota Symphony Orchestra has captured the national imagination with innovative programming, original productions, and artistic tendrils of community engagement. So, of course, we have to ask, what's next? You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. Maestro Delta David Geyer, he's music director and conductor of the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra, stopped by our studios here in Sioux Falls for an update this week. I asked him about strategic planning and about the recent release of a professional recording of Giants in the Earth, the opera.
Well, it may seem like old news for a lot of people, your listeners perhaps, because, you know, we did this opera, you know, a year ago, April, and then SDPB made the, you know, a video production of it and aired it last fall. But this is the commercial recording, which is being released internationally. It actually was released in Europe before it was released here because the record label is in the Netherlands. It's really exciting. It's very high quality. Top standard recording, and it sounds great.
Tell us about what goes into releasing a recording like that. How intensive is that for you? Is that something that you pass on to other people and then it comes back to your hand, or are you intricately involved in it?
Well, I spent, you know, a year ago, actually, I was in New York with a recording engineer in the studio, Dolby Atmos studio there. And, you know, we were making a lot of decisions. So I haven't had much to do with it in the last year. And the release of it, you know, the timing of the release, that's all up to the recording company, you know, when they feel like it's the best time, when they can get the most traction and the, you know, in terms of press and all of that. So
yeah. So what happens next to a recording like that? What are your hopes for it in the world? Because the performance and the community aspect of it is largely what you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
As the music director and conductor of the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra,
mm-hmm.
Now it has a life beyond you. How important is a recording to you as a conductor?
Well, it's important for posterity, first of all. I mean, there was no recording of this piece of music, a Pulitzer Prize winning piece. And so part of it was due diligence and, you know, this story that takes place right here where we live in South Dakota and tells the story of the first Norwegian immigrants coming here, and nobody could ever hear this piece before. So that's part of it, is just, you know, sort of an altruistic thing. The other is to make it available for people here. And again, the video that's available on your website to watch free of charge from anybody at any time, that's great. But this is something that people can, you know, it's a piece of history they can either own or like you say, you can stream it. The other thing is, I hope that, well, I mean, there's also the recognition beyond South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Like the last recording we released, you know, had a lot of really good press. I mean, BBC Music Magazine said, you know,
the last recording, which would have been
Atlas of Deep Time by John Luther Adams.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the piece that we commissioned for our 100th anniversary season. But, you know, BBC Music Magazine referenced the excellent South Dakota Symphony Orchestra players. You know, I mean, that's really great validation coming from press like that. So we would hope for that. And then lastly, I would say that I would hope that other opera companies, orchestras, now that they have a chance to hear it, mm-hmm. that they would pick it up and do it, that it would begin to take on a life of its own.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a starting line. It's a finish line for you, and it's a starting line for
exactly.
the piece in some way.
It's like we midwifed this piece. It's, it's out there in the world now.
Yeah, with an imprint on it that is undeniable. For future performances and programming of Giants in the Earth.
Yeah, the story is out there of what the South Dakota Symphony did. I mean, it's in the liner notes of the CD, but it's online. And so, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of press, I was reading Joseph Horowitz, who is a scholar in residence for the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra.
Still is, actually.
still is, yeah. In the New York Times and in the American Scholar, and both times he's really referencing heavily what is happening as he looks at 250 years of classical music in America and how often in our reflections on America at 250, scholars left out any reference of the arts and what that means, what's unique about American art, what's unique about our canon. And every time he references the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra, I think he said the repertoire is brave and the vibe is exhilarating. There you go.
There you go. What more could you ask for? Yeah, I mean, our personnel manager will often reference that the reason that players come to play in this orchestra is she's trying to, you know, fill out the orchestra. It's not the money, because we don't pay that well, but it's the repertoire that we play and what she calls the vibe. You know, it's like it's the hang. It's the fact that we have a happy orchestra, which is actually rare in in our industry. Like a lot of union orchestras and a lot of discontent and, you know, grousing about this and that and the other. You don't find that in our orchestra. It's a very happy bunch. We're happy to be making music together, and people enjoy playing with us.
Yeah. So it's good. So then you're asking the big question, which is what's next?
Yeah, right.
You've done 100 years. You've done Lakota Music Project, which is ongoing, of course. You've done Giants in the Earth. How do you vision the future?
Well, we just spent 3 days last week tackling that question. I have a new friend. His name is Tom Morris. And Tom is, he's about 80, I think, or so. And he was 50 years at the top of the industry, CEO of the Boston Symphony, CEO of the Cleveland Orchestra, CEO of the Ojai Music Festival. And he, through various channels, learned about the SDSO, became intrigued with it, actually came to the production of Giants in the Earth last year. And that was the question he asked. After the dress rehearsal, we went out for a drink, and he says, "So what's next? You know, we got the whole nation's attention now. Like, you know, like, don't squander this moment." And so he actually put together a group of four people that came and spent 3 days with us last week, just exploring the question of what's next for the SDSO. And, you know, it was a huge validation because all four of these people who, you know, like Tom, had been in the industry for decades and are retired now and giving back. They came free of charge, just, you know, they do this with other orchestras occasionally too. But they just said, you know, it's extraordinary what's happening here and what they were enamored with. Yeah, the programming and so on, but the tendrils that we send out into the community for every program that we do, like the impact. So if you read that article in the New York Times that Joe Horowitz wrote a couple of weeks ago about, you know, classical music in America at 250, you know, he talks about the troubles that American orchestras are having. It's the epicenter of it right now. It's the Boston Symphony, but financial troubles, but audience troubles and relevance issues. You know, just the whole classical music relevance issue, and basically, you know, we don't have that issue because we're going deep into the community, and whether it's education, and our education is K through higher ed, like universities, you know, to kindergarten, you know, all the way and everything in between. And we worked really hard to make sure that each one of our programs has those elements in it. It's, you know, different ethnic communities, you know, Lakota Music Project, of course, but also our Bridging Cultures program with South Asian, Chinese, Hispanic, you know, communities within our community and how we connect with them. For example, our opening concert in the fall is all rhapsodies, you know, famous rhapsodies from our repertoire, but we have a new rhapsody, a Guatemalan rhapsody that's being composed for us. We'll premiere it by a Guatemalan composer. And, you know, right now we're working on making connections with the Guatemalan community here in Sioux Falls, which I understand is the largest Hispanic population we have here, you know. So really looking forward to that. But we're, you know, we've done quite a bit of it. And, you know, it's a matter of like sitting down with the people of that community and asking the question, you know, what's most meaningful for you? What's most impactful for your community? How can we serve you? How can we partner together? We're not trying to get anything out of that community. We're trying to figure out ways that that we can enrich the life of Sioux Falls by, you know, by making music together.
And how do you open the door for really innovative answers?
Right. It's mostly listening, honestly. But you know, you get a lot of, you know, you go into the initial meeting like that, whether it's with an ethnic community or principals of the high schools. Like,
like
Brian Maher put together this meeting. I walk in there and he's talking about, you know, the orchestra engaging with the high schools. And the principals are like, what? What are we talking? You math teachers, you know, whatever. What are you talking about? And, you know, so we're going through this. And Tim Hazlitt from Roosevelt, and principal at Roosevelt, said, hey, wait, you could build a program around the Holocaust for me, couldn't you? I said, you're absolutely right, I could. Every 10th grader in Sioux Falls reads Romeo and Juliet. I can build a program around Romeo and Juliet to deepen their engagement with that. You know, like this, these are the conversations, like you got to get through the bridge or break the ice of, you know, like what's a symphony orchestra? What does this cultural institution do for the community? It's not just an entertainment option for people who happen to like that stuff. This is like history and you know, all of that.
So how do you measure outcomes of different programs?
Well, that's more difficult, you know. You know, in terms of, you know, sometimes it's ticket sales, sometimes it's number of students engaged. I think about one of the Joseph Horowitz programs we did, Copeland in Mexico, which we worked really hard to engage the Hispanic population here. And through the National Endowment of the Humanities, we had tickets available. And we had 1,000 vouchers out to the Hispanic community for free tickets to this concert. And over two concerts, we had 650 of them redeemed. Okay. So that's pretty good. You know, so we, you know, there, I think the metric changes depending upon, you know, who we're engaging. Yeah. You know, SDSU loading up, you know, a couple of buses of, you know, to bring students to a concert after Joe and I have been in the classrooms up there for the last couple of weeks, you know, talking about Shostakovich or whatever, you know, like those, you know, how many people stay for a post-concert discussion?
Right.
You know, like we did that for Shostakovich's Seventh Symphony, and we had about 50 chairs set up on the third floor for this, and there were like 180 people that showed up because everybody wanted to talk about what they just experienced, you know. So, you know, it's a small kind of metric, but it's like, yeah, okay, we struck a chord, so to speak.
Yeah. So how you measure outcome is continuously measuring it, measuring in different ways, different formats, from participation and raw numbers of ticket sales to the vibe, as we were saying. The people in the room who want to talk about something, the press coverage that you're getting, the excitement that the orchestra is building, the way that you can sit in a room and hear innovative ideas from a community that you haven't engaged with yet, whether that's in a high school or whether it's with a Spanish-speaking group.
Yeah,
all of that and more.
And the desire to re-engage.
Yeah.
Like if we did Lakota Music Project once and never did it again, then that would not be a good metric.
Right.
But the fact that we've been at it for over 15 years now and people invite us back and want to continue the engagement, that's a good metric.
Yeah. What's next for you personally? What are you excited about? When somebody asks you that question, what's next? You know, it's easy to focus on the community. It's easy to focus on the musicians, the quote-unquote happiness of the orchestra. How about you personally, professionally?
Well, I've basically devoted the second half of my life to this orchestra and this community. So I'm pretty excited about where we are and where we can go. And, you know, I think that the outcome of these 3 days with these industry professionals last week was, you're doing really great stuff. You need to be, we need to figure out ways to basically, honestly, fund it so that you can do more and deeper. You know, it's not doing more for the sake of doing more. It's how can we do this deeper and better?
Maestro Delta David Geyer is music director and conductor of the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. That's our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.